Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A warning, this series contains discussions of themes that might be distressing for some listeners. The official story has always been that Lachie ran away from home about 9 p.m., climbed a gate or fence and went about 1.2 kilometres over a rough track to the end of the ponds, fell in and drowned.
What I know unfolded that night and what's been told is totally different.
It's not a mark on his body. None of it adds up.
That's a baby case. It's what we would call a baby case.
The Boy in the Water is a newsroom.co.nz production.
The coroner has ordered an inquest.
I'm here now at the Invercargill Courthouse.
Good morning, everyone. Lachlan Jones, Lachie, was 3 years and 8 months old when he died.
My whole life has just been destroyed.
We're heading into courtroom four.
What happened to Lachie that led to his death, and how did he die?
I asked you a simple question.
The truth's going to come out.
Definitely.
I'm telling the truth.
Kia ora, I'm Melanie Reid, Newsroom's Investigations Editor. Welcome to Season 2 of our podcast, The Boy in the Water, and our fifth episode, Lachie's Brother. Lachie's half-brother Johnny was about to turn 16 at the time of Lachie's death. You will hear his evidence soon. But because much of his testimony relates to what his mother, Michelle Officer, told the court, we're going to start by going back to parts of her evidence, some of which you won't have heard before. Throughout the case, we have heard reference to a pineapple sprinkler. The sprinkler has become relevant in establishing timeframes on the night of Lachie's death. Michelle Officer says she spent about three quarters of an hour trying to get it working after she got home. Here she is being questioned by Simon Mount. He is the KC assisting the coroner.
I think you've said that you got home from the depot somewhere around 5:45?
Yeah, around that, yeah. Because, I mean, I wasn't wearing a watch, I don't think, like you. You sort of use your phone as a time.
And then was the sprinkler the main thing that occupied you once you got home for that?
Yeah, when we went and we got home, I might have drove around the supermarket and then it was too busy. I said to Johnny, we'll go to the supermarket, but I didn't go into the supermarket. I went home and we just, you know, get all your stuff from the car and go inside and open the door and unlock the door. And then I thought, right, it's really, really hot. I'll try and get that sprinkler, which I've got it, the sprinkler going. And yeah, roughly around that time, 5:45.
How long did that process of trying to get the sprinkler going take, roughly?
It was quite a long time, actually. I feel like I was probably to about 6:30, possibly, around that time. Because I knew it was getting closer to tea and I thought, I need to get tea on. But I was, well occupied outside. I was just trying to get it going. It took me ages. I was determined to get it done. And that's why it took me so long to get it going, because it's really good when you get the sprinkler. Lockie could have ran under the sprinkles to cool himself down.
You just mentioned the dinner time. Was there a usual dinner time at a Lockie?
Usually we were, like, I'd like to have had tea when Home and Away was on. I'd like to have the dinner on then more.
Give me what time's that?
5:30, 6 o'clock, 6 right. o'clock. Probably 6 o'clock would be a good time. If I hadn't eaten by 7, I felt that was too late. So it was running, we're running quite late.
And then what about a normal bedtime for Lockie?
I got into a way better routine with Lockie. And I was trying to, I'd start getting him ready about 7:30-ish. So at least I'd be in bed by 8:30. But it was so hot, he was just, we were running late and it was just an odd night. I'd hop in bed with him because then that's the way I'd go to bed with him and get him to sleep, then I'd get up.
The sprinkler, was that in the front or the back of the house?
Back, the back section.
And you get from the back of the house along the side and out to the front?
You could, but I was like, the area that I was, it's like you see the house in the L shape. And so where I was watching Lockie. I had my eye on him pretty much doing the sprinkling. That could have been why.
Was he out the back there with you?
Yeah, he was with me.
Because he could get around the side of the house and out the gate if he wanted to, was the gate shut during that time when you were working on the sprinkler?
I think it was open that day. It was open.
The gate at the end of the driveway, that's a manual gate that I take it you have to close by hand?
Yeah.
Was it a double gate or just a big single gate?
Like two gates that you latch
bring them
shut.
Together and latch. Now, I think in your first statement you said that Lockie was hosing you with the hose as a game.
He may have hosed me, like the hose, you connect the hose onto the thing. And so that's what I was working off, the hose onto the pineapple. So it might have flicked off, because what I was doing, you put it on and then I'd flick off again, kind of. So he might have grabbed the hose and hosed me.
So the hose was working, but the sprinkler
Yeah, the hose
wasn't.
Was working, but the sprinkler, that was the connection. And if you turn on the water, sometimes with my sprayer thing, you turn it on and it pops off. It can pop off there or there with the pressure.
And do you now have a memory of Lockie hosing you with the hose, or are you going off that earlier statement?
I mean, I've got a vague memory now, but I do remember working on the pineapple. I mean, my memory's obviously not as good as it was, like, so I would go back to the original police statements because I can't remember, but I do remember doing the pineapple. That's what I can remember. I've only got snapshots.
I realise I'm asking a lot of detail here that you may not have, but... Yep. These are just points that others have wondered about.
Yeah.
When he hosed you, was that wet enough that you needed to change your clothes?
No. It would be because I think it was like not enough to spring like to change your clothes. Definitely not. I would have just stayed wet, if you know what I mean. Stayed wet because it was so hot. It would have evaporated the. Was out there just evaporating. If I was a little bit wet, it would have been nice to cool me off, kind of thing. So no, I didn't change my clothes.
So if we put the effort with the sprinkler taking us through till about 6:30, did you say?
Roughly.
Then I think we've got the docket from the pizza showing that the daughter went through at about 7:23 or something like that.
Yeah.
What's happening in that time between abandoning the sprinkler and then ordering the pizza?
I went inside. So me and Lockie went inside, and I think I mentioned about getting pizza, and then I said to John, well, Johnny didn't eat pizza because he had a intermittent fasting diet, 16:8, or I think it was a 24. So I've come in and I might have got the TV set up for Lockie while I was thinking about what can we do for tea. And just sort of time goes really quick, and I might have helped Johnny organise something for tea, something like, you know, more protein. So I might have got meat out or something. And I remember Lockie was sitting at the TV, and then that's, you know, I just see snapshots, but I can't fill in detail, if that makes sense. But I think I worked on the pizza, ordering pizza at the table. Lockie was sitting at the table, and I was trying to organise the pizza.
Next, we will hear from Michelle's son and Lockie's half-brother, Johnny. Robin Bates, the Crown solicitor representing the police, begins by questioning Johnny about his relationship with Paul Jones, Lockie's father.
And what age are you now, please?
21.
So in 2019, at the time of the events we're going to be talking about, you were 16?
Yes.
And at that stage, where were you living?
Living with my mum on Street.
And who else was living there at that time in that property?
Only Lachlan.
Firstly, around this time that we're going to be talking about, Paul Jones living in your house in the same property as you?
No, he wasn't.
Had he been living there at a prior time?
Yes, he had.
And roughly, when had he commenced living there with Michelle and you?
I remember.
When Mr. Jones was living there, did you get on with him very well or not?
Not really, no.
Perhaps if I asked you initially, did you get on with him okay?
Yeah, I was good at first.
Then what about later on?
As time went by, he started not being so nice to me, so I just kind of avoided him.
How were Mr. Jones and your mother getting on?
Not very good.
How did you get on with Lockie?
Yeah, we got on really good.
So, on a day-by-day basis, what sort of contact did you have with Lockie? Did you look after him? Did you go with him anywhere, or what was that like?
Yeah, normally every time Mum would go out with him, I'd come with him. And also I'd take him to my room quite often and play games with him and that.
Robin Bates then turns to that day, January 29, 2019, and what happened after his mother Michelle returned home and said Lockie was missing.
What sort of state was she in at that time?
Seemed pretty worried, but it was pretty normal for her. So I didn't worry me at all.
And when you say it was pretty normal from your point of view, what do you mean by that? What would Lockie do from time to time?
Yeah, he'd often run away and hide inside the house. So she would often call out he's missing just to lead on with his game.
This section has been edited for length.
What do you remember next as far as seeing your mother or talking to you?
I can't remember how long it was, but she came in not long after, and then she was in a real panic and saying that he was missing and I need to come help find him.
So did you do anything at that stage?
Yeah, that's when I left the house to go walk up the left-hand side of the road.
Then what happened after that?
My friend Corbin picked me up to take me to the ATM.
And who was that friend?
Ben Kirby.
Okay, so you went to the ATM. Was there anybody else in the car?
Yeah, his cousin was driving because we didn't have our licences.
Got some money out?
Yeah.
How much did you get out?
$50.
And what did you do with that $50?
Bought a bag of marijuana.
How long did that process, getting the money out and getting the cannabis, take, roughly?
Would have been a max of 10 minutes, probably.
Yeah. When you made your original statements, you mentioned the fact that you'd gone to the ATM and got $50 out, but you didn't mention it was purchased cannabis. Why was that?
I didn't want to get myself or anyone else in trouble.
Yeah, back at this stage, did you or any of the others smoke any cannabis at any stage around that time or not?
No, we didn't, no.
When you got back to the house, and this is when the police were there, remember what you did immediately after you got back or around that time? Do you remember anything about cooking food or anything of that nature?
Yeah, I did, yep.
What did you do?
Bacon and eggs.
And why did you have something to eat at that stage?
Because I hadn't eaten since my breakfast and the police told me to stay home.
That time, or just before that, had you spoken to the police or asked them what you should do?
Yeah, when I got home from going to the ATM, I asked if I should keep looking. And they just told me to stay home with my mum.
In the course of the night after that, did you or anybody else smoke any cannabis?
Did later that night.
Roughly what time was that? Best as you can remember.
Would have been like 12 o'clock, I think.
At some stage, do you recall asking your mother or texting her about a grinder?
No, I don't.
Would you have needed a grinder?
Possibly, yeah.
I'll just get to confirm, I'll perhaps do this. So apart from the matters which we've now covered, in particular about the purchase of the cannabis, do you confirm that the contents of the three statements that you made, police, are true and correct? Thank you.
Next.
I think it's me, sir.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's Max Simpkins' turn to cross-examine Johnny now. Remember, he's acting for Lockie's dad, Paul Jones. Again, the questions cover a lot of ground, so we have edited for length.
Is it right for me to say that when Paul initially moved in, you got on well enough with him?
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
He would take you to sporting events?
Yeah, he did come and watch my rugby one time.
Did he at one stage buy you a laptop or a...
Yeah, he bought me an Xbox.
I take it from that, it wasn't all bad, the relationship between you and Paul at the start.
No, it was good at first.
And likewise, can you comment on the relationship between Paul and your mother? It wasn't all bad, was it?
Not at the start.
We've heard evidence from your mother that Paul... did come inside the house and actually stayed at your home address on the Sunday before Lachlan died.
I don't remember.
You got to the point where you despised Paul being at the house, didn't you?
He wouldn't come inside the house.
I've just given you some evidence that he was inside the house and was staying there overnight.
Well, yeah, if they'd split up, I probably wouldn't have wanted him in the house.
And what did you think of him sleeping in your mother's bed?
I wouldn't really think about it.
I want to take you to the Tuesday morning, the 29th of January 2019. That's the day that Lachlan passed. In your evidence this morning, you've told the court that you were basically in your room until about 2 o'clock?
Yep.
At some point, did you get up to eat?
Yeah, after that.
What do I mean?
After 2 o'clock, yeah.
At some point, did you have a conversation with your mother?
Yeah.
During the conversation, did you... Can you remember asking your mother what that cunt, referring to Paul, was doing at your home?
I can't remember that.
I don't remember this being put to.
I was thinking that. Are you going to develop that with Mr. Simpkins? Or?
It's going to come in evidence later, sir.
Paul Jones lawyer Max Simpkins now questions Johnny about going to work that day and the text he would send his mother, Michelle Officer. Johnny had an after-school job at Ewan Allen Honda, a local motorcycle dealership in Gore. You will hear Simpkins sometimes refer to Johnny by his surname, Scott.
You say you went to work at Ewan Allen at about 3:20 that afternoon?
Roughly, yeah.
While you were working at Ewan Allen, your regular finish time was 5:30. Did you have a regular start time?
Yeah, normally 3:20. I'd start early on Wednesdays.
And the routine was for Mum to pick you up from school when it was a school day and take you to work?
Yeah, it was.
And there was an understanding between you and her that she would drop you off at that time?
Yeah.
And likewise, in the afternoon, there was an understanding that she would come and pick you up from you and Alan at 5:30?
Yeah.
You didn't need to text her to inform her that you needed to be dropped off at work as a general rule, did you?
Yeah, I did, because the time could vary a wee bit. I'd finish.
Mr. Scott, there was no real need for you to text your mother because both of you understood that your finish time was 5:30. Except that.
I could vary between... In my notebook, it varies from 10 to 15 minutes.
So. Am I right to suggest that you and Alan is a positioned very close to where your mother was working at the depot? A short walk of only a few minutes, Mr. Scott? Had you finished early, it would only take a short couple of minute walk to the depot, correct?
Yeah.
And there was no need to text on that day, was there? At some point, your mother did pick you up from your work address, did you know?
Yeah.
Where did you go to from there? Buy at the supermarket.
Stop going in.
Oh, you're just going to have to come out a little closer to the microphone. People can't hear you, including me. Thank you. Who went to the supermarket?
Mum and Lockie.
We should point out here that in her evidence, Michelle Officer said that she drove around the supermarket car park but did not go in as there were no parks.
You arrived home. Your mother talked to us about the day being very hot and fixing or organising a hose. you'd go outside and try and fix the hose. Yeah. Who else was with you when you were fixing the hose?
Mum, I think. I can't remember.
Were you fixing the hose for Lockie?
Yeah, what is for his sprinkler.
Were you fixing the hose together or not?
I can't remember.
Did you manage to get the hose fixed?
I can't remember.
When was the next time you saw Lockie after attending to the hose?
I can't remember.
Max Simpkins takes Johnny through every event of that evening, evidence we have already heard from Michelle, about the moment he calls out to his mother to assist him with an incline bench press at the end of his 50-minute workout when the heavy weight was on his chest.
She came in and assisted you with that last lift?
Yep.
And off she went. Is that right? When you think about that, would you agree that would have only been in the room for a few seconds?
No.
How long do you say it took her to assist you to get this lift up off your chest?
5 minutes.
Just to get one rep off your chest?
But she stood there and watched me for a bit.
You just said that that was the last lift of your exercise regime.
Simpkins now questions Johnny about the search for Lockie.
Showed little interest, really, in searching for your brother who was missing, didn't you?
Yeah, because the police were already looking for him and they're professionals.
It's at this point Max Simpkins makes a direct allegation to Johnny that he was involved in Lockie's death. Simpkins suggests Johnny's mother, Michelle Officer, was irate with Lockie after she picked him up from kindergarten. Earlier in the inquest, Simpkins had implied that Lockie's behaviour had deteriorated in the lead-up to his death.
Came home from kindy, terribly upset with Lockie. You saw that, didn't you?
No.
Saw that she was upset and you went to her assistance, didn't you?
No.
You were with Lockie and your mother for 45 minutes on your own after he returned from kindy, weren't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Your mother was so irate with Lockie that Lockie himself became emotional. That's right, isn't it?
I remember.
Lockie was so irate that you helped your mother, and at that point, that's when Lockie met his death. I'm right, aren't I?
That's not true.
Didn't in fact go to work that afternoon. You stayed home. Right, aren't you? Aren't I?
There's proof I was at work that day.
And Lockie had passed, and you needed to get rid of Lockie and put him somewhere so that you wouldn't be caught, correct?
No, that's not true.
You've lied throughout, like you lied to the police about the cannabis, haven't you, Mr. Scott?
No.
But a number of statements have said that Lockie's body was frozen, stone cold, and cold when he was discovered, Mr. Scott. What did you do with his body?
The last time I seen him was on the laptop in the lounge.
Got a freezer at your home?
Yeah.
Is that where you stored him until you could work out what to do with Lockie's body?
Ridiculous.
Mr. Mount, or Miss Woodhouse, yeah. Sure.
Good afternoon, Johnny. I've only got a few questions for you.
We are now going to hear from Beatrix Woodhouse, Johnny's mother's lawyer.
In terms of your mother and Lockie, did you consider her a good mother to Lockie?
Yeah, I would.
Can you give some examples of how she was a good mum?
She was just always really overprotective and didn't like giving him lollies and stuff to protect his teeth.
And who would be looking after Lockie day to day?
It was always mum.
Who would cook the meals and things like that?
Mum would.
And do you think that your mother wasn't able to control Lockie?
That she could control them.
Would she ever get angry with Lockie and if she considered him out of control, or was she able?
Yeah, she was able to manage.
Okay. There's been a bit of discussion about the sprinkler. I think it's useful if you just describe how, because it's not, I imagine it to be a plastic sprinkler, but it's not, is it? Could you just describe the sort of the pineapple part to it?
I can't really remember, sorry.
It's, from my recollection, it's sort of like a blow-up. The water goes through and... So when Lockie went missing, your mother has provided a brief of evidence, and she talks about when she first saw you when she came back to the house, and she has stated that you just looked at her and that you would have thought that it was just another time of her panicking, because she does tend to panic when she can't find Lockie. And she gave an example of when she was panicking and she later found out that Lockie was just in the bathroom. Would you say that it's sort of regular behaviour for her to panic, and that's perhaps why you didn't really take this occasion that seriously initially?
It is. She's really overprotective and gets stressed when she wasn't in her sight.
And just a final question about the cannabis use. Do you know if your mother would approve of that in the household?
No, she wouldn't.
That's all. Thank you for your evidence.
Coming up next, the neighbour that says she heard but didn't see Lockie that night.
What we'll do is I'll play some audio from that 111 call. We'll pick it up from about 5 minutes in.
Oh, gosh. I can't believe he's done this, Debbie. He was just in your laundry.
What
are you doing
here in the first place?
Is that my voice?
Do you not recognise your voice?
Sounds different on the phone.
Would you agree with me that there's a real sound of surprise in your voice?
Yes, but is that me?
Well, I don't think there was anyone else called Debbie, was there?
Yeah, well, it must have been.
For more journalism that matters, including our award-winning true crime series and podcast, Peter Ellis, The Craige Case and Me, head to newsroom.co.nz or your favourite podcast app. If you like what you are hearing, please subscribe, rate and review our series. It helps new listeners find us. You can also follow our social media pages by searching Melanie Reed Investigates. This series is written and produced by me, Melanie Reed, along with Bonnie Sumner and Judith Curran. It's edited by Dave Feloy-Alihi and Scott Mason. Theme music by H. Pryor. You are listening to The Boy in the Water, funded through Aotearoa, New Zealand, on air.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.